We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The only two things in life that make it worth living is guitars tuned good and firm feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights. I got my song and I got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys.
I know what you're thinking.
The successful life we're living.
Scott loves Waylon Jennings, so Waylon Jennings is the artist of the day. You're wrong. You are wrong.
Outlaw Country is your artist of the day. So we're going to get them all in. Willie's going to get in here. Johnny Cash is getting in here at some point. We're going to even bring in some of the new guys. Oh. Stapleton and Jinx. Oh, yeah. Outlaw Country is your artist of the day. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome, everybody. It's good to be with you. Anything going on in America today?
I have no idea. No.
Kind of a lazy, slow, sunny afternoon in Kansas City?
I have no idea.
Oh, wait. We have cities burning.
I know you didn't see my text in the middle of the night because Sam Stevie didn't see my text in the middle of the night.
First of all, can I remind you, there's a reason I turn my phone down in the middle of the night. It's because you text in the middle of the night. You are the only reason I turn my phone down.
I text in the middle of the night because there is unrest in America, and I was watching live on television as a police precinct burned to the ground. A CNN reporter was arrested live on...
For no reason.
During a live report for no reason.
For no reason.
What was that? And I'm like, is anyone else watching this? I got out of bed, turned on the TV, and I think I was up till 4 o'clock this morning. Scott, I'm exhausted.
Why do you do this to yourself, Dana? And why do you text me in the middle of the night? What do you think I'm going to do? Run to the radio station and break in?
I don't know.
Because
a
police station in Minneapolis is on fire?
I shouldn't say I've never seen anything like this because our listeners know that you some of you remember the Kansas City riots. I don't.
In the 60s.
Sam. Some of you remember the LA riots.
We all do.
And I do, but I was much younger when the Rodney King verdict came out and all of that stuff happened and the LA riots happened. I was much younger when that stuff happened.
I was in college.
We lived through Ferguson.
That was pretty bad.
And in some respects, the still photos in Minneapolis remind me of Ferguson. But when that police department started to burn, Scott, I didn't know what else to do but to text you and go get out of bed. You've got to see what's happening right now. This is America. America is burning.
And as you sent that text, do you know how I responded?
Yeah, you were probably sound asleep.
I didn't wake up. You know why? Because you have forced me to turn off my phone at night.
Sam didn't reply either. I was emailing Alan. I go, are you watching this? Hello? Anyone? Hello? Anyone?
No. We're not. We're doing this thing called sleep. It's natural. Humans do it.
I can't sleep in the business we are in when something like this is happening.
And what are you going to do about it?
Well, I wasn't going to do anything about it. But
it's
going to
be on the news in the morning. Sometimes you just gotta let it go, Dana. Sometimes you gotta let it go.
I cannot believe you, of all people, are saying that.
Well, what? I mean, do human beings not need sleep?
Well, yes, human beings need sleep, but
okay.
I don't
need to watch a city burn in real time when I can wake up at 6 a.m. like a normal human being, turn on CNN or ABC News or whatever and watch it in slightly not real time.
I don't even know you.
Yes, you do. I'm Tom Volek's favorite.
What do you think about the third degree charge?
I think it's too low, actually. By the way, the officer who had his knee on the neck of George Floyd has been arrested today. He's been charged with manslaughter and third degree murder. No charges yet on the other three officers. I heard the news conference as the prosecutor came out. And I think it's too low. I don't think it's first degree murder. You have to remember first degree murder. And I know people like to throw that first degree murder. Well, first degree murder is premeditated. You have to really plan
and
this
9 minutes isn't enough for premeditation. And this is where I want our lawyers to call in, because you know this example, Scott. And this is slightly different because I'm setting out to intend to kill you. Okay. But if I walked to the kitchen to get a knife and I walk back to where you're sitting and I stab you to death, yeah, that is enough for premeditation.
Well, but it
doesn't have to be 3 weeks ago I hired a hitman and, you know, like right. on CSI. It can be just the act of deliberately going, grabbing a knife, walking back and killing you. Now, they're going to say that this officer did not intend to kill this man. The problem with that is all of the bystanders yelling, "You're killing him." Mm-hmm. Mr. Floyd yelling, "You're killing me." And the amount of time he was standing on his neck. And that's why I was surprised at third degree.
Yeah, I was too, actually. And I don't know if you're arguing for first degree, but
I
would
think it's somewhere in between the two.
Well,
I would think it's third.
I would say it would be second degree murder. And the prosecutor was very careful today in the news conference to leave open the opportunity to upgrade the charges. Okay.
Sure.
He's not going on trial. You can always upgrade the charges. And you've been in this business long enough, Dana, we've covered enough trials, many of them together, by the way, in our old days. There is a very, very thin line between first degree murder and second degree murder. And for me, I've always made the argument for it to be first degree murder, you have to kind of wake up that morning and go, you know, I'm going to go kill somebody and I'm going to go kill that person. And that's the person I'm going to put together a plan and I'm going to go kill him or her. With second degree murder, you have to have recklessness and a complete deprivation of interest in human life.
Bingo. Which is what we see sometimes in DUI cases, correct?
Mm-hmm. It was reckless, and yep, you had a deprivation for concern for human life.
I would love for our attorneys out there who understand not just the nuances of those laws, but maybe the nuances of the laws in Minnesota to call in. Because maybe they wanted to start out low and see where they could go versus shooting for the moon and knowing they can't prove the moon.
Now, I will say this, and this needs to be said on the show today as we enter into this conversation. I'm glad that they arrested this police officer. I'm glad he is charged. I don't know that the charges are sufficient with the crime that I saw committed. However, that is not an excuse to destroy your city. And cooler heads have to prevail. There is absolutely every right to protest and demand accountability from your government. No doubt about it. No doubt. But you do not have the right to set a Domino's pizza shop on fire. You do not have the right to raid a police department where he apparently worked and set it on fire. And what is Chris doing in the background? My God, he has the loudest booming voice of anybody I've ever known.
He is behind not one, but
two closed doors.
Closed doors.
What is he doing?
That beautiful broadcast voice will not be silenced.
Oh, it will not. No, it will not. Kansas City has a right to hear from their anchor man, and he is going to deliver the goods.
He's going to be on our air if he can't be on his.
Oh, my word. Pipe it down there, Ketzer. Jeez Louise. All right, telephone number here is 576-7798. One of the four police officers, the main one, if you will, has been arrested. Charged this afternoon with third-degree murder. We do not have third-degree murder in Kansas or Missouri, if I understand it correctly. We have first and second. And he's also been charged with manslaughter. I'm confused about that one. I mean, why is third-degree murder not... Why do you have to add the manslaughter charge on there? Is that like a lesser included or something?
We need our attorneys to weigh in.
Yeah, I don't understand that. 576-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie the Third. I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Good afternoon. But now the current's only pulling me down. It's getting harder to breathe. It won't be too long. It'll be going under. Can you save me from this? Cause it's not my time. I'm not going. There's a fear in me. It's not showing. This could be the end of me. Oh, man. Bear with me, Dana and gang.
Yeah.
I just had...
How many?
Six. Six.
Where it's six sneezes.
There might be a seventh in there.
Well, the record is nine.
Yeah, that's correct.
As I recall.
That is correct.
Because it was a day that I was particularly fed up with your nonsense. And...
yeah.
We were in the studio together like 20 years ago, it feels like.
Yeah.
And you could not stop sneezing.
Where there's one, there's always another. And I started sneezing about 2 minutes ago. And I hear Sam come through the headphones. He goes, God bless you. I go, hang on, buddy. There's another. And there were two more. And he's right now he's looking for the sound of the time that you and I got sideways with each other over my sneezing too much. Oh, my gosh. My mom's the same way. My mom's the same way. It doesn't stop, and it hurts. Oh, my God, it hurts.
You should see somebody about that.
While Sam's looking for the sound clip of Dana losing her lid on me that one day, let's go to Brock in Stillwell. Brock, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi, Brock.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
We're doing okay. Hang tight. I'll let you know.
Awesome. Well, I just wanted to first off by saying I love your guys' show. I've been listening. I've been a fan of it for years, ever since my mom would pick me up from elementary school and played at the car right on the way home.
Okay. So I just wanted to start off and say that.
The point I wanted to make was I'm a pre-law student at Kansas State University right now. I'm going to be a senior graduating in December. And I was reading up on all this. And then I was listening to 980 when I was working out outside all day today, and it got me looking up Minneapolis law. And whenever I was looking at the differences in the statutes between first degree, second degree, and third degree murder, the point I really wanted to make was, you know, Parks, you said it perfectly when you were describing the differences between the fine line between first and second degree murder, where, like, if I'm at a bar fight and I get into a fight with someone and I think I walk away winning the fight when actually the guy's dead, that's second-degree murder because I wanted to cause harm, but I did not premeditate it, and I did not intend to kill him. Mm-hmm. Now, third degree is when, you know, like exactly what you guys were saying, but the point I wanted to make was, as an officer, you are entrusted and trained to be more morally upstanding than the average citizen. And with the laws and the statutes that the county prosecutor named in the statement, which I was listening to, I believe, and this is I'll kind of push back on what you were saying, Parks, how you think it's a little bit light for the third-degree murder.
Okay.
I feel like third-degree murder is the appropriate charge in terms of how the word is for the law and the statute. However, because he is upholding more to be morally upstanding than the average citizen, the punishment should be more severe than an average third-degree murder.
Okay.
Well, real quick, because you are at least trained in law, one of the questions I have had throughout this whole thing is that is if in fact it's true, and I've read this, that in Minnesota, or at least in Minneapolis, it was not specifically outlawed to put your knee on someone's neck. Now, we would all say, well, of course it should be outlawed. But I've read that their policy in that precinct allowed it. And my guess is his attorney is going to say, if this was so inherently dangerous and I should have known it was dangerous, why does the policy allow us to do it?
Yeah, and that makes absolute sense. You know, as a criminal defense lawyer, you're going to want to try, and if you can't beat the morality of the act, you're going to try and beat the wordage of the act. You're going to try and say, like, just like you were saying, how, like, if our precinct allows this, then why am I guilty of this? Which, yeah, I can totally see the defense prosecution going for that. But just as someone, you know, Minneapolis law is much different than Kansas City law, and I cannot speak as an expert of Minneapolis law or their precinct or their precinct's operation. But I will say this, that the moment that the rioting and the looting and everything, I think all of that is severely detracting from the overall message that needs to be put out that this man was killed, this is a horrible event, and we need to protest, you know, injustice where it's at. But when all we see online is targets being lit on fire and precincts burning down, I think that is a horrible detraction from the message that needs to be put out.
You know, Brock, I love the bar analogy when you're trying to explain the difference between first and second degree murder. And I love how you talked about second degree murder being you go into a bar and you get into a fight and you accidentally or maybe even intentionally.
The guy falls and hits his head.
Yeah, let me finish my point, though. Second degree murder is walking into a bar to have a drink and you get into a fight. First degree murder is you walk into a bar to fight and then have a drink.
Or kill, but yes.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, by fight, yes. I mean you kill the person, yes.
Correct. We saw that on the plaza a few years ago. Two guys get in a fight. One guy knocks the guy out in one punch. Guy falls backward, I think outside a Kona Grill, hits his head on the outside brick area and dies.
Yep. That's second degree murder. You didn't do it intentionally. You didn't know that when you struck him. Now, granted, you struck him, and he falls backwards and hits his head, and he dies. That's second-degree murder. But the difference is intent. And, you know, somebody's writing in saying, Carl Cornwell argues that, you know, it takes 1 second to premeditate a murder. Well, I'm not a lawyer, and Carl Cornwell is...
The walking in and grabbing the knife scenario.
Yeah, Carl Cornwell is a magnificent attorney in Kansas City. But on that, if that's really what he said, and I don't know that for a fact, I would disagree with him. I think first-degree murder has to be planned and premeditated. Second-degree murder is in the act.
Because I looked this up. The way a Minneapolis police officer restrained George Floyd before he died, placing his knee on the neck, is widely discredited by law enforcement experts because it can cause suffocation. Right. But the technique is allowed in Minneapolis. And I wonder if that's where the lower charge is coming in here, Scott. I'm going to say it again. That technique is allowed. Now, why in God's name it's allowed, I have no idea. That's ridiculous to me, but it is allowed.
Well, and they just reported on the news here that George Floyd was unresponsive for 2 minutes and 35 seconds. And the knee was never removed from his neck.
That, to me, is walking into the kitchen, grabbing the knife, walking back into the room and killing someone, to me.
576-7798. She's Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks. We'll get to more of your calls and comments here in just a moment. Doesn't matter if it's 816 or 913 on the phones. 576-7798. More of your calls coming up in just a moment.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars or drive.
Outlaw Country is your artist of the day. Did I just see the old Ketzer walking behind you just a second ago?
You did.
Where's he going? Going to make more noises in the back room?
Like, honey, we need a safe room for that voice.
Boy, that is a barreling baritone if I ever heard one.
get into the vault.
Jeez Louise. Let's soundproof that bedroom. Oh, that's what she said. The officer who had his knee on the neck of George Floyd has been arrested and charged today with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Third-degree murder is the least of the murder charges you can get. The other three officers, they said they're still working on that. They anticipated charges against the other three, but they were not ready to announce them today. Let's go to the phones. Don in St. Joe. Hey, Don. Good afternoon.
Hi, Don.
Yeah, I've got several things. First thing, what about that gentleman in New York that got forced to the ground? He was involved with selling some cigarettes.
Eric Garner.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a situation very similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
You also have bystander or people that are associated with a crime. They get arrested, too, when they do this. Second, then the other thing is this gentleman that they forced to the ground, they kept him under control. They had so many minutes he was under control. That's why they put these things in place to protect the policeman. But once the policeman's got things under control, he can't go around just shooting anybody or whatever. He's supposed to stop at some point. When that happens, and to me, that clearly happened.
Okay. So, do I read into your comments that you're okay with the charges that were filed today?
No, I think they need to be stronger.
Stronger, so, okay.
The same that would happen to someone, just a layperson out there that did anything like that, they would be prosecuted for heavier charges.
Okay. Don, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it, my friend. And be well up there in St. Joe. Sam, just let me know when we get everybody else screened because I know we got a bunch of people calling in.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Quentin and Lawrence.
Hi, Quentin.
Hi, Quentin.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking, man.
So what I just wanted to do was just kind of give a little insight into why I thought third degree was charged instead of second. And some of the things that I heard you say before are correct, specifically about intent with first-degree murder. But in Minnesota, the second-degree murder charge also has an intent element as well, and the third-degree murder charge does not. So without having a preliminary hearing and seeing what the officer's intent was while having his knee on his neck, you can't really go ahead and charge second-degree right away. But
sure.
They do have... avenues to go ahead and up that charge at a later time.
But I have a question just as a layperson, who gets to decide intent? Because to me, he doesn't just get to say, well, I didn't mean to kill him. You know, you might be able to say that after 60 seconds in my mind or after 90 seconds in my mind. You can't say that after 6 minutes or 9 minutes when that many people, to me, are helping beg for his life, and he is begging for his life.
And don't forget, 2 minutes and 35 seconds when he was
unconscious.
Not responsive.
Sure, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but generally that's going to be the judge or the jury that would make that determination on intent.
Well, but I don't know about that.
He's going to say, I didn't mean to kill him, and yeah. I'm going to say, how the hell could you not have meant, at that length of time, how could you not have known he was dying?
Quentin, I don't know if you have a degree in law or if you practice law, but back to your previous statement, I would disagree with you in regards to it's up to the judge or the jury to determine if there was intent. You can't determine intent if you're charging him with third-degree murder because intent has been taken out of the equation. You would have to charge him with second-degree murder, not to get all legally technical here, but I spent way too much time in courtrooms. You would have to charge him with second-degree murder and then ask the jury if you can't find him guilty of second-degree murder, then we're asking for a lesser included of third-degree murder with no intent.
So, yes, I do have a law degree and I practice law. What you would do is you would present facts as the defense, as the prosecutor, that would show intent. So some of those things that you mentioned, He was unconscious for 2 minutes and 35 seconds. He had his hands in his pockets, all these things. And then you would file a motion for an upward departure to add an additional charge. So no, I agree with what you're saying. I do think it should be charged at a second degree level at minimum.
And I'm glad you brought up the hands in the pockets. We haven't talked about that on the show yet.
Were his hands in his pockets?
There are so many things that add fuel to the fire.
I thought he was handcuffed.
Yes. No, the officer's hands are in his pockets, meaning his entire weight is on that neck. He's not bracing himself against a car. If you look at that photo, Scott, his hands in his pocket, and it's the most cavalier.
Weren't they taunting him at one point? Like, if you want to get up, get up.
I did hear somebody say, get up.
I mean,
yeah. I wasn't even able to watch the video. I've just seen the pictures. I can't bring myself to watch that. So just going off what I've read, the pictures that I've seen, that's the information that I have.
So let me ask you this. Do we not have an obligation to listen to it? And I ask you because I had the same reaction. I watched it. I can't listen to it. It was on in the kitchen today, and my son was sitting here. And I started to hear him scream for his life, this poor man on his stomach. And I grabbed the remote and I said, I can't listen to it. And then I thought, should we not all be forced to watch this man die to see, really see what has happened?
I think the answer to that is yes, but I just still haven't been able to make myself do it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Quinn, do appreciate your call, my friend. Thank you for making it.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
You be well. You have a good weekend. Sam, are there others?
Let's go to John in Topeka.
John in Topeka. Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I was looking something up. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but according to the internet, second-degree murder can be charged with the felony murder rule, and the felony murder rule means any of your accomplices that were while you committed the murder, they can be charged with felony murder as well. And if they charge him with third-degree murder, then the three other cops do not get charged with the felony murder rule.
John, you bring up an interesting point, and I don't know if you're looking at Minnesota law, because Kansas and Missouri do not have third-degree murder. All murderers, all murder is a felony. But I would have to look into the Minnesota law, and I don't have the time to do it right now.
Well, that's what I looked at. I searched Minnesota law of murder. Yeah.
Could they be charged for just standing by and doing nothing? The answer is yes. We pulled that up yesterday, Scott. Mm-hmm. Now, it did not clarify what that charge could be. It just said it was criminal and a tort, meaning they can be charged criminally for standing by and doing nothing to help the office, the other three, and they can be charged, civilly for damages for standing by and doing nothing.
Which they will be, and they will lose.
Of course.
But the argument that they're going to make in court, and I would make as a defense attorney, God, I should have been a lawyer. I suck at this radio thing. I should have been a lawyer. if I was their defense attorneys, I would make the argument that this Derek Chavrin, or whatever his last Chauvin, he was the supervisor, and they were intimidated, and that's why they didn't get involved. Now, I understand, you know, following orders is not an excuse for a defense, but you can make it, and all you have to do is convince a jury that it's okay to kind of be intimidated by your boss, and okay, I should say something, but I don't want to. That's my boss right there. That's all you have to do. And that would, if I was the defense lawyer, and I'm not, that would be the case I would make. They were following orders and they were intimidated.
You're not even looking at the bigger problem here. The bigger problem here is that he is going to say he was following policy. Now, I don't know if
the main guy, yeah.
I don't know if crap policy is a defense for killing someone, but in Minneapolis, it is part of their policy that it was okay to do the knee to the neck.
I don't know that it was okay. It wasn't forbidden.
It is allowed. Let's use it in the positive sense of the word. It is allowed under their policy.
Okay.
So he's going to say, look, if this is so bad and I was supposed to know that this could lead to death, why does our policy allow this?
Well, and I'm telling you, Dana, I mean, you think it's bad right now.
Don't even say it.
What happens if he gets acquitted?
Don't even say it.
What happens?
Don't even say it.
Because the LA riots only, and I'm not trying to instigate violence. I'm trying to be as responsible a journalist, air quotes, as I can be, since I'm a talk show host now and not technically a journalist anymore. The LA riots broke out when the Rodney King guys were acquitted. 576-7798. Dana Wright, Scott Parks, Sam Stevie III on KMBC. Welcome back. The officer you have seen on television with his knee on the throat of George Floyd has been arrested and charged this afternoon with third-degree murder. The other three, we don't know yet. If you want to weigh in, you're more than welcome. 576-7798. Go ahead, Dana. Sorry.
Brian Williams is anchoring the coverage today for MSNBC, and I miss Brian Williams during breaking news. I've always said that. I really do. And they have the charging documents, and they're going over them. There had been some discrepancy over exactly how long the officer's knee was on Mr. Floyd's neck. It is 8 minutes, 46 seconds in total. 2 minutes and 53 seconds of that total time, George Floyd was unresponsive. So I'll say that again. 8 minutes, 46 seconds total, the knee was to that neck. For the final 2 minutes and 53 seconds, Mr. Floyd was unresponsive.
I'm just so confused as to why. I mean, and keep in mind, everybody, what we have to remember is he was initially stopped for allegedly, and who knows if he even knew he did it, and if it even was counterfeit.
Counterfeit.
He was accused of passing a counterfeit $20 bill. Now, in what world? I don't think I ever passed a counterfeit bill. Certainly, I never intended to if I did. But they are out there. We all know that. In what world does it require 4 police officers to show up and apprehend someone for allegedly passing a counterfeit $20 bill? I mean, you want to talk about, and I mean no pun here, and forgive me, you want to talk about overkill. The man is accused of passing a counterfeit $20 bill, and it takes 4 police officers to administer the arrest? Come on. Come on. If I had passed a counterfeit $20 bill, allegedly, I doubt 2 officers would show up. And keep in mind, George Floyd never resists arrest. Now, people might say, well, when he's on the ground, there are times where you see he's trying to get up. And
well,
you wouldn't?
Up. Yeah, he's trying to get up because he's dying.
And you wouldn't? There's a difference between resisting arrest and fighting for life. And I believe that George Floyd was fighting for life.
Let me ask you this, Scott. What do they do tonight? I know the National Guard was called in, after just a horrible night of unrest. We should mention not just in Minneapolis, but Colorado saw some of this.
New York. Columbus, Ohio. They stormed the Capitol building.
I'm missing one. Was it Baton Rouge?
Yep. The behavior is reprehensible. This is not how you do it. And I understand people are angry. I understand my door's open. You can probably hear some guy sawing something across the street. I understand people are upset. That is not acceptable behavior. And I would only point out that George Floyd's family is begging people, do not mark his death in this way. And burning down an innocent guy's Domino's pizza place, storming a police precinct where they have to flee in their cop cars, and I would bet every single one of those cops thinks that what happened was wrong. Is wrong. You don't make your point by destroying your own neighborhood. It's shameful. Embarrassing.
It was daybreak this morning, Scott, that the soldiers accompanied by the Minnesota State Patrol began clearing people out of the area around the police department that burned to the ground, right? Mm-hmm. It was 6 a.m. that troopers arrested, and I will point this out, it was a black CNN correspondent
who was arrested
and
for
his crew. They did not arrest the white correspondent nearby, and then their apology was not an apology at all.
The governor and the mayor have apologized.
Have apologized, but my God.
Mm-hmm. No. It was remarkable because the CNN reporter Omar Jimenez was arrested while he was doing a live broadcast, and
they said they either didn't believe he was media, or they didn't know and they had to make sure he was media, but they arrested him during a live report.
He had his
with a microphone and a camera pointed at him and his credentials around his neck.
Yes. His credentials are actually at the bottom of his shirt, but he pulled them off and he showed them to the state troopers. He says, "I'm with CNN. My name is Omar." And they arrested him, took his microphone and took him to the precinct. I don't believe he was charged with a single crime. And you can hear, if you listen really closely, the officers who is handcuffing him saying, "I'm doing what I've been ordered to do." Now, you could also point out that, and his name escapes me, I want to say it's John Walsh or something like that, or Jim Walsh or what, I don't know. A white reporter for CNN was one block away. He was not arrested. Omar Jimenez happens to be black. He was released an hour later with no charges.
What would the charge be? Working?
Standing in a street? I haven't.
Working?
No, what are you charging with, sir? Working. You're a black man and you're working. So you're clearly a criminal.
Reporting on civil unrest.
Yeah. I mean, it really is shameful. And the State Patrol has not responded, but the governor and the mayor of Minneapolis both have apologized to Omar Jimenez today for him being taken into custody live on national TV. I mean, if you ever really
it's a great look, isn't it? On national TV.
If you ever really needed to see that we might have a problem, it's a black reporter being arrested for covering civil unrest live on national TV. I woke up this morning, I'm watching that, I'm like, oh God, this is going to go down south. This is not good. Telephone number here at the radio station is 576-7798. Don't forget, we've got Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Please drink responsibly.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.